sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
Fuck, dude. All right. That's like Grease, the beginning of Grease.
Exactly. Oh, wait. I was going to do NBC, but I don't want us to get sued.
No. We don't want that. Or what is it? It's not called NBC. It's like Comcast's Peacock, or
yeah, Peacock.
NBC doesn't exist. And welcome to the show. This week we will review Pearl. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner. We are reviewing Yellow Jackets Season 2, Episode 9, titled Storytelling. And now I would say this is, per tradition, I will read the summary off of IMDb because they're hilarious. If anybody hasn't been keeping up, go read the Yellow Jackets summaries. They're pretty funny. Okay, this one says, "Heavy is the hand that wears the antler crown is a lesson you don't learn until much later in life, if you ever even learn it at all. Everything's about to get really wild. Wilderness. And we're so excited, so excited. Season finale." Pretty good.
That one, not as fun.
Yeah.
Not as fun as the others.
Yeah, that one's a little bit like, what is it? Less fun, I guess. You're right. Yeah.
But a director that we're revisiting, a favorite of ours, I'd like to say.
Yeah. What's her name?
Karen Kusama.
She also did the pilot. So like, you know what I mean? She kind of like established the look and style of what the show is.
The pilot, which was the prequel to The Flight Attendant. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about something else.
So this is the season finale. We'll probably never get this season 3, so with the writer's strike going on, we'll probably get it 2025.
Yeah.
Ambitiously.
We'll see.
Maybe next winter, if everything goes well. But, I mean, it's going to be a fight. So, John, what did you think of Yellow Jackets season finale?
Well, I will say that the people that write this show are also the people that show run, produce, and direct it.
Yeah.
And it's not, and everybody's like, oh, the writer's strike, this and that. It's not like they're not writing. That we would be very naive to think that they're not writing their next thing that they're going to pitch immediately as soon as everything comes back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they're selfish, but it's not, we don't matter because we're the people that just show up and make the thing.
I mean, it's all important. Everything everybody does, it's a process, right? It's a conveyor belt process, right?
Total process.
Yeah.
I have, now that I know so much more information about the writers, still on their side with the strike, but I'm a little bit peeved with them too. So, but we'll move on from that.
Oh, we'll talk about it after, like, if you want.
A lot of information people don't know, and then a lot of information they don't want you to know. It is what it is.
Well, there's also, not to dismiss you, but like there's a lot of smear going on too. You know what I mean?
No. This is all everything that happened previous writer's strike as well.
Ah, okay.
So it's nothing new. They're doing the same thing, except now we got a bunch of younger people that don't know anything about that either, including myself, where we're like, what the fuck? No, we got to be like, we got to, you know.
Yeah.
Give them grace for this and that. It's like, oh, okay. Never mind.
I completely understand.
I mean, still on their side.
And I will say this.
Things could have gone differently is the unfortunate thing.
I will say this, that hopefully they do take the time, because I was not a fan of this episode at all. I thoroughly disappointed. Thoroughly.
Oh, what do you mean? Just because it felt really thrown together? See, what's wrong with that?
Just because we had a random death of a popular character?
Just because they just kind of don't play by their own rules in this episode for some reason? I don't know. So now we understand that they're fully aware of what they did in the past, but they're being real nonchalant about it for some reason in the present. Except for Natalie, all of a sudden has a new outlook on things, which is really convenient.
Oh my god. So we'll just start there, if you'd like.
That this was the worst episode of the season?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And honestly, like, I've really enjoyed the season. I've been, you know, I think you listen to the show, I've been pretty, like, excited about it. I'm always excited to watch an episode. But there have been cracks throughout the season. You know what I mean? Like, when we watched season one, it was like maybe there was a bad episode here and there. But not this season's more like consistently narratively. It's such a, like, mess at points. Where still it had this, like, it had, to me, it has that favorite, like, I kind of like favorite. So it's like, okay, we're just going to keep going with it, go with it. And honestly, I was kind of dreading this, because going into last week's episode, I kind of like, I was like, where are they going to take this show? Like, what is it that there's no clear finale? And I feel like what we got was just like a complete miss for me. Thoroughly disappointed.
Yeah, well, like 1,000,000%. It feels very much like either they weren't expecting to get a second season, but I'm pretty sure they were. But maybe they got locked in for X amount of seasons, and they're like, oh, that's way more than we have material for.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're doing things like this.
Also, they were an episode short this season, which is weird. That, like, I felt like there's a big, maybe possibly a bigger story here. Like, why was there only 9 episodes instead of 10? You know what I mean?
So sometimes they have an episode that just, like, falls really flat and they just cut it. Like, it could have been the bottle episode of the season, and it just would have been like, it's pointless.
So we should probably get into what happened, and we'll just quickly talk about the cabin. Let's talk about the teens first. Because I felt like people were just behaving so out of character here. And they introduced a new idea. But of course, they bring Javi back. And of course, you have an emotional scene with Travis, like, just like feeling the death of his brother. And they go on to explain that Natalie felt guilty about it, basically, because she kind of allowed it to happen.
Yeah, I guess she allowed it to happen. She was being held back. They're gonna fucking kill her. I don't understand.
Yeah.
And then what a waste of a Radiohead song.
Yeah. I love.
And then the doll parts song at the beginning was a little too on the nose about, like, dismembering Javi. I'm like, this is getting corny as fuck.
They had one too many needle drops this episode. It was like one too many. Yeah. Once we started doing the Radiohead, and then we had. Who else? Fuck, I should have written this down. But there was like, once we got into like, what is it, Echo and the Bunnymen and all these other bands, I was just like, okay, I think we've hit the max number of needle drops you could possibly have on an episode. And and the other peculiar behavior was Teen Misty. Kind of like yelling at Lottie, who Lottie is now like against killing people. She didn't want Javi dead, which was like fucking weird. And then Misty goes like all like, no, you don't start, like, what does she say? Don't start making us feel bad for this and stuff like that. And I'm like, what is it? I'm having a hard time again understanding why are they into this kind of ritualistic hunt murder.
Yeah. And then the whole, like, convenient, like, oh, we made Lottie like this, so it's our fault. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Why all of a sudden? Why is this all happening now? This like two episodes. Mm-hmm. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. Why is Shauna going along with it? Why are any of these girls like, what is their motive? I'm not really understanding.
Why is Elijah Wood all of a sudden trying to cover up for Misty and the girls and like killing a cop? And I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
I thought that was going to be, that was probably the most disappointing Elijah Wood's character. Like that, like I felt like Elijah Wood's character got totally shoved to the back of the season. They started with him and they kind of like were building him up. Totally got shoved. The storyline with Thaisa got completely dropped. Completely dropped, dude. Oh my
god, yeah.
Like,
and then she became a bad person too for reasons.
For reasons, like, oh, she was totally cool with the murder. Yeah, like what? Like, I'm not understanding people, like people's behavior, and
yeah. Well, okay. Literally, what last episode or two episodes ago? No, last episode. Lottie presents the idea of like, well, one of us will die peacefully if we just drink the tea or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then Van's like, no, that's fucked up. But then she's the first person to be like, nah, we should pull cards like we did back in the day.
Yeah.
So they totally remember everything that happened too.
Yeah. And how they treated each other. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Shauna, right, pulls a card and then she's the one decides to run. And I'm like, why is this happening?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Totally disconnected. Like, I feel like, I feel like it's a missed opportunity. They could have easily been like adult Lottie and adult Shauna should have had that conversation. Hey, do you remember you beat the fucking shit out of me? You know what I mean? She's like, I still can't walk right or something. Like, you see the scars, the one you left, something kind of like some sort of indicator that they acknowledge what's like some sort of connection. Cause right now, and it's felt this way, the last two episodes, like there's two storylines, even though it's supposed to be the same people. Completely separate stories, because how they're behaving as teenagers and how they're behaving as adults is totally disconnected right now.
And what, you know, I mean, you were excited for that to just like go away finally, but what a fucking crap way to wrap up Shauna's like murder,
yeah.
Like, homicide thing, yeah.
I
was like, this was terrible.
I knew that was going to happen. You can kind of see that they totally painted themselves in a corner with that storyline.
Painfully.
Yeah. And they just like, how do we write ourselves out of this? And they did it the most clumsily way possible to get out of this, you know, because we need Shauna. She's like, kind of the star of the show, sort of, you know, she's kind of like top billing. And she, that storyline gets resolved, but probably
the only thing I liked about the episode, mm-hmm. I think, was Jeff and Callie's
mm-hmm.
scenes.
Yeah. They're
which is weird for me to say because I've never cared about them before.
They've done a lot of rehab on the Cali, and Jeff's always been like a scene stealer for a number of episodes. So yeah, it was their storyline's been good. But I think one of the most weird egregious turns is that Teen Natalie is the Antler Queen now for reasons. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I guess they kind of hint at it, but in like, again, kind of a clumsy way where maybe Travis was supposed to be like one of the Antler Kings or whatever, mm-hmm. and he kills himself. She's talking about, I have the same thing in me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That was dumb. And then like the whole thing where she's dying and she sees herself in the airplane.
Okay. So yeah. So,
that was corny. Like,
I hated it. Yeah. So from what I understand, so what you're referring to is that Natalie Juliet Lewis died this episode in probably the worst way humanly possible and comedically funny way. She just like went limp and like her body. This is little weird choices. And on top of like, radio, what was it? That's when they played the Radiohead Fade Out, right? And then they
it's also like, I feel like if you played that entire sequence in normal speed, it would still make less sense. I mean, it would make less sense, like,
yeah,
I feel like there was plenty of time for Misty to not stab Natalie. Like, the whole thing was kind of silly. It was like poorly done.
It's like that fucking, in retrospect, it reminds me of that SNL skit where they do the Osei murders.
Oh, the deer sister.
The slow murders of each. Yeah, yeah.
It's the deer sister sketch. the OC's sketch.
Yeah, yeah. Because yeah. They're making fun of how that season ended, or how they killed off Misha Barton's character or something like that. Yeah, it's like that. It's really funny, unintentionally funny. And the...
So fun little tidbit about that, because it's, in my opinion, more interesting than this episode. Bill Hader said that he just really wanted, his whole life, he wanted to do like the what the Lonely Island guys were doing. And he was always kind of jealous. So you'd always try to be like, hey, well, like, I can help you out with this. So that's how he got in that sketch.
Right, yeah.
But that they shot it across the street from 30 Rock and didn't finish until they had to go back to work at SNL in the morning. So they shot that overnight and then went back. And it is by far one of the best sketches in the past, like, 15 years or whatever.
Yeah, it came out. It's very memorable. Quote-unquote recent sketch, even though by now it's very old. So for reasons... Natalie, so Lottie decides to tell him that she's not the queen anymore, that Natalie is, and that it's always wanted Natalie, which they do allude to when she sees the white moose. It's the only thing I can think of that the wilderness was speaking to her, with that episode where they go on the hunt and she sees the white moose. Or was that like the episode before?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I feel like they ended up finding the moose again anyway, right? Like
it was a real moose. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that died or something.
That's the thing. They're trying to be real mysterious with like whether this thing is real or not.
Right.
And it's getting just really irritating at this point. Now that we're two seasons in.
Yeah, and then you're absolutely right. And it's frustrating because I have no idea what it is that they're... Is it a real thing? Is it a metaphorical thing? I mean, it's hard to tell. It's very undefined what it is that's really chasing them, or like, you know, getting them to do all these terrible things to each other and other people. So it's like, what is it like at this point? Is it going to remain open-ended? Like, is it theoretically just like...
Is that what set the cabin on fire? Because it didn't take Natalie in the first place? It was like, there were a lot of like... I asked these questions and then I was also like, I don't actually care. I feel like these questions are dumb. I don't like these questions.
Yeah, that was probably the only thing I really liked. It's like, that actually seems like the only idea that kind of, again, pushes the narrative of the storyline of their difficult survival in the wilderness, that the cabin burned down. That actually made a lot of sense. Like, I like that as the last image shot.
Which at this point, I think we are literally going day by day, right? Because I'm guessing they're going to stretch out the kids. I mean, like them being young until they wrap the show.
So supposedly it's going to be five seasons, excuse me. Oh. I don't even know. I honestly don't know. I think they got, I mean, I hate to say it, but they'll probably get like one more season and then like a fourth and that's it. Be honest. But I also heard that Julia Lewis did like, started not to like where her character was going, so I'm pretty sure she decided to like get written off the show. She wanted to get off the show. So
that's smart.
I guess they had to come up with a reason to write her off, and they kind of came up with this. So they start with they're starting to set the idea that quote unquote this wilderness spiritual thing is probably gonna have different angler queens. It's not only gonna be a singular person, is what they're setting up. That they're gonna have Natalie do it for a while, and then it's gonna get passed to somebody else and somebody else. And it just, does it feel like that's the direction?
I guess. Does that mean on the billboards we've been fucking seeing around town, that was supposed to be Natalie?
Yes, that's my guess. Yeah, that's the way I would have staked that.
Is the next season going to have another billboard with a different person wearing the same exact leather?
Like, I mean, I totally get it, because like Sophie Thatcher's been excellent in this show so far.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, all the teens have been wonderful. the teen counterparts. But I'm like, at this point, I'm like pro, I'm on Ben's side. He tried to burn them all down to the cabin, and he's going to live in the little fucking trees. He live in the tree or something in the woods.
So. I just want there to be like a throwaway line that they're like, no, we can't include that. That's not like PC. But him going like, and that's why I'm gay. And then he just sets the cabin on fire and like runs into the the clearing.
Yeah, is he gonna have a? He's has that like maniacal look like in Sleepaway Camp. just watching him burn.
I was, I think I'm coming in a little bit hot because I was like very disappointed in this episode.
Same.
Same.
I was like, I'm going to fucking text him. This fucking show up. This episode sucks. But I was like, eh, he probably hasn't seen it yet. So I'll just leave him alone.
It was even like even down to maybe it's cause I was already upset by the episode, but, the purple clothes that the people were wearing to go up to the gate seem real half-assed.
Like, yeah, like, they did.
Last episode.
They did, yeah.
And I was like, what's going
on? Just told some extras, bring any purple clothing you have, please.
Yeah. It's like they just dyed a couple of things on the day, and they're like, this is good enough. Just get out there.
It's all going to be shot long shots. Be long shots. We'll get no close-ups of it. it's clearly.
Oh, I like that they acknowledge that Callie told them that the officer slept with her to try to dismiss the case. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, okay. Well, like, she's a team player.
Yeah. Kevin's dead, right? The cop. And they kind of pin it on his partner, right? Is that the idea?
No. Elijah Wood made it seem like he fabricated an entire story and a scenario where that the goth cop guy was the guy that killed the other guy. And then the new guy with the mustache was like, you know, smart enough to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow Elijah Wood was able to frame him into like going along with that story. So that's just what they went with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. That makes about as much sense as the rest of this episode, so why not?
Yeah, again, I needed some kind of clarification. But yeah, really, really disappointing episode. I felt like it's been coming, like I said. Like, I felt like this like it was all going to sink. Like, just the way it was slowly building. In the back of my head, I thought, like, man, this episode is not going to land, I bet. And
you know from the very beginning, I knew from the very beginning it was going to be a crap episode because they went back to the original theme song version.
I did like the cold open though. That was cool. I was like, oh my God, John's going to love this. It's the cold open. They just had the Showtime logo and they cut into the action. And it's like, it was nice because it was a very like emotional, weighty thing going on with the characters and stuff. But and all of a sudden they kicked to the main theme. Yeah. So, yeah.
So Ben could very well still be alive.
That's what I'm hoping, yes. I feel...
And then he's going to be the guy that stops these... Maybe they're just not good people anymore.
I don't know, man. It's... At this point, I'm less invested.
Yeah. The only good person was a person that decided to let herself die. For I don't know what reason.
Who, Jackie? Or...
Like, no, Natalie. Like,
oh,
like,
yeah.
She, like... Because... She committed suicide, essentially. She could have pulled Misty away. She could have done anything else, but she purposely killed herself because she felt like she was supposed to be dead the entire time.
Yeah.
Because her bigger subconscious is her younger self reasons. I don't know. That didn't make any sense to me.
That, like, I actually got, even though I didn't like the way they showed her going into the afterlife, her... being going on an empty plane and she sees Javi. I did like she saw a younger version of herself. She had Sophia Thatcher with her. And I was like, oh my God, that's awesome. Because like we probably are never gonna see these actresses ever interact. And so
I was gonna say, let's just quickly, it's Sophie Nihlese. Melisse?
Yeah, Melanie Lewinsky's younger version.
Yeah, because which one's Sophie Thatcher?
Sophie Thatcher is Natalie, young Natalie.
Oh, Natalie.
So I actually got really emotional. I was like, oh my God, they're together. This is like the only time they're ever going to be together. A younger version and herself. And I was like, okay, that was a nice moment. That was a like nice moment to end it, even though I didn't particularly like anything about that sequence. So.
Yeah, because missed opportunity to have like leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Because they might as well have.
They could have just...
Oh, no. It has to be 90s, right? So it's going to be Red Hot Chili Peppers' Aeroplane. It's my aeroplane.
Roller coaster! Yeah.
Because I'm a loser, baby. So why don't you kill me? Plenty of missed opportunities right
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. I saw the sign. Yeah.
You got the music in you. Don't
Man. They should recut that scene with all these different types of music. Something adds up.
It'd be like the new what is it? Oh my God, what the fuck's his name? He's like one of my favorites. In Ex Machina when he does a dance sequence.
Oh, yeah, what is it? Oh fuck! Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, when Oscar Isaac does that dance, they've recut it several times in different songs, and it like always works.
Yeah. So let's hope this show gets better. Hopefully, the time away will recontextualize the show a little bit. If we get a better.
Yeah, Travis was given Javi's heart to put on the skillet, and I was like. Okay.
You know, he ate him, take a big chunk of himself first.
Yeah.
And threw it on the.
I was like, okay.
My thing is like, okay, so if they're cooking, so they chopped him up and they cooked him, they threw him on the pan, but there's like no salt or anything. That shit's going to stick to the pan. And you got to really make sure you cook it through any type of meat. Like, you see where I'm going? It's like, like it's going to be just burned. Like, it's going to be burnt weird flesh. Right?
I'm assuming because it's the heart, there's a lot of fluid in the heart.
Oh, a lot of...
I'm guessing the other meat chunks that they don't really address, there's plenty of water outside meat. With the snow.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So they just like kind of boil it and go for it, I guess. I don't
know. Well, because they had the fantastical barbecue the first time with Jackie, so...
Yes. Yeah, I was going to say, when they spit roasted Jackie.
Stuck an apple in her mouth and shit. Like, oh no, why am I doing this?
And then they're complaining about not having any fruit anymore. And I'm like, yeah, because you keep fucking garnishing your meat.
Yeah, you gotta have the perfect garnish. Yeah. That's
they're like, you know what? Maybe, what was her name? Jackie was right. And Van ate all the corn nuts and stuff. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe all the other kids ate all the fruits instead of planting seeds.
Oh my God, yeah.
Especially all the close-ups of all these random people. Like, where the
Who the fuck are these people? From? Yeah, there's so many.
There was like some girl in a bucket hat and glasses, right? And I was like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Why do I care about if she's sad? Who is this person?
Who are these people? Yeah, that...
When are they going to eat these new people?
Yeah. What's going on? I could have sworn that's where we're headed.
Yeah, why are we eating people we know?
Yeah, that's going to be the drawn-out thing, right? That they're going to, like, kill one person every season until they get to last season. They're just going to wrap it up and just start murdering them more consistently. So, I don't know.
Oh, we're going to find out that Shauna has been hallucinating everybody else. And they've eaten everyone else already.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I don't know. Whew. Oh, man. What a disappointment. Cool. Do you have any other last thoughts?
I'm excited for From.
I haven't seen anything. And it's one of those shows that, unfortunately, it's like on a very niche service. So a lot of people aren't really talking about it, per se.
Oh, they kind of are now, because they're advertising the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Like, people are really talking about it in social media now.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, specifically here in LA, there's billboards everywhere now.
Right, yeah, yeah.
With that dude, the milkman guy, is in the background.
Mm-hmm. The weird-faced ginger or something.
Yeah, the guy that kind of looks like the dude that played the quote-unquote Joker in the Gotham series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know you're talking about that. I forgot. Is he now doing Star Wars, the video game? Is it the same actor? Cole Kester? Maybe. Or is that the name of the character in the Star Wars Jedi series? I don't remember. But I believe that's that actor.
Yeah, let's go with that. I was trying to look him up, but I forgot he's in like the later seasons, right? He's not even...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Cameron Monaghan.
Oh, I was all completely off. It could be two different gingers.
He is in the Star Wars Jedi Order game.
Though. Oh, okay. Maybe it is the same. I think Cole Kester is...
Cal
Kestis. That's the name of the character, right? The character, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
An advertisement for The Flash. I can't wait to see that movie about that dude that likes to beat women. I mean, that person.
Oh, dude. He's, yeah. You know, I'm a DC fanboy, so I'm not, but I'm probably not going to watch it in theaters. I'll probably watch it eventually. That's.
Ah, man. The new trailer, though, has like a lot of Michael Keaton saying all those like banger lines, and I'm like, maybe. I kind of want to watch it now.
That's that weird, like, nostalgia thing, you know, excuse me, that like they just try to like get you, because like, oh yeah, I know that line, I know who that is, that was cool type of thing. So,
but it is like he's in the suit, and then it kind of zooms in on his face, and he's like, you want to get nuts, and then it says The Flash.
Fine.
And then it's a bunch of clips of The Flash hitting women. I just don't get it. Like, I agree with Jonathan Majors being in hot water, because I know there are allegations, but I mean, maybe he probably did hurt that lady, his ex-girlfriend or whatever, which is like not fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
But how they've just kept Ezra Miller after a decade of this bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dude, come on. He's not even that good.
Well, I mean, I'm sure let's see if James Gunn is able to like right the ship on that, starting with his Superman movie, which I'm pretty sure would be great. I mean, he's just
we can't just deep fake Grant Gustin in there instead, or
yeah, all right. They should have brought Grant Gustin. Yeah, he was a great Flash, super great Flash. Alrighty, let's move over to our main review of Pearl. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Ty West of Texas.
Oh.
Second, right? He's from Texas.
I don't know, maybe. That sounds right.
I'm probably a liar too, though. I like lying. It's a lot of fun for me. Let's just check real quick, because then we won't be true Texans. Not like I love Texas all that much. I do have it tattooed on my arm. He's from Delaware. All right, moving on.
I don't know. Yeah.
For Ty West's Pearl.
Delaware's Ty West.
Delaware's
Ty
West. Ty West. Even though Ty West sounds like such a Florida name. Coming in at number 3, Mia Goth sets up porn.
Mia Goth sets up porn. Yeah, she's the inventor of porn.
yeah. Coming in at number 2 for Delaware's Ty West. Pearl. Young Pearl eliminates her obstacles.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah. And then coming in at number 1 for Pearl, starring Mia Goth, aspiring dancer fucks a scarecrow.
that's just obvious. Yeah, that's what happened. Okay. I like your inventor of porn. She's the creation of American porn.
Well, no, but she was in on the ground level when that dude,
the Bohemian guy.
The quote unquote Bohemian.
What did, remind me, what'd you think of X before we get to her?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Clearly this movie had a way bigger budget. But not a huger, bigger budget. I really, really enjoyed how stylized it was. A lot of fun.
Yes. Yeah.
It's very, very Ty West, though. It's very straightforward. There's no... What's the best way to put this? Is rudimentary style of writing the right phrasing for this?
I understand what you're saying. Yeah, like no frills, you know, like kind
of. Yeah, it's just very like straightforward. Almost like he did a couple of drafts and then he was like, "Oh, it's fine."
Yeah.
And you can kind of see, like, I can't believe I'm saying this because I used to be a hater, but like I feel like you can really feel Mia Goth's like influence, like because she was one of the writers too, and I'm like, this movie was like way better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could definitely feel her. So, I think I liked X, but was not.
You didn't love it.
Yeah, I didn't. If I recall, I didn't like really get into like. There was like this hype around it all last summer, right? That, oh my god, it's like this fucking the birth of horror again or something. You know, like they really were like pipping it pretty hard. And at least that's the vibe I got from it. And thought it was like, oh, it's okay. It was all right. There's a couple of nice things in it, but nothing that really I thought was exceptional. But this movie, I actually really loved it too. I thought it was fucking great.
Yeah.
Like,
I thought it was awesome. Yeah.
I love that the X had a, you know, smaller cast. It feels like a small movie, kind of like a riff on Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And this,
yeah, there's not a lot of locations. Yeah,
this cast even feels even smaller somehow.
Yeah.
And it's a complete showcase for Mia Goth. Like her range of talent is completely on display. And she, I could see why people.
Did you catch when she was screaming? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, she's
like the latter half of the movie.
Yeah, and you know what's great about, like, I was trying to pin it down, like she does it in a way that is raw and unnerving, and it just goes on long enough to make you feel uncomfortable.
yeah.
So that was, I thought, excellent. And she
like went all in. You know, mm-hmm. like you can tell she went 100% in. Like she never, her character wanted to be beautiful and amazing, but she also was careful to present herself as obviously not as beautiful and as amazing as everybody else around her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, I was very impressed. I also had to Google her eyebrows. Like I was like, wow, she keeps doing this, but apparently that's just what her eyebrows look like. Like it's like she was born that way and she just embraced that look so she doesn't change
it. Right, yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head. Like she portrays somebody who wants to be seen and wants to be liked because she's kind of lonely. She's kind of with her mom. Very kind of, I could describe it as kind of like Carrie-ish, right? Like she's kind of just under the rule of her mother.
Kind of like being on extended lockdown. So it was very...
Oh, yeah, that's right. That storyline.
Parallel to, like, because it's the Spanish flu is happening mm-hmm. along with the war, but, like, this is when Spanish flu was, like, big. And it's, like, very parallel to what happened with us during COVID,
mm-hmm.
which I think Ty West did intentionally.
Yeah, which I actually quite liked because I, you know... So I did like that storyline. Now, that story, particular storyline, could like... hit people differently. You know, I could totally see somebody just making an argument like, why is this in here? But to me, it made complete sense. And it's something that I don't think is talked about enough. And it wasn't until our recent times that people got more information about that time in American history. Because I personally didn't know anything about it. I had never even heard about it.
Yeah.
So,
you know, the one thing that was kind of a bummer was like, you know how like the movie, even though she's a bad person, you're still always kind of on her side. Did you get that same feeling?
Yeah, I felt with her, I guess because you could kind of slowly see her creep mentally to this point where she's basically like murdering everybody. And you kind of understand why she's at this point, you know, justified or unjustified. That's up to the viewer, right, to see. But like you kind of could. She did such an amazing job and has such an arc and charisma to where you're able to follow her kind of trajectory through the whole movie, you know, her mental state. So yeah. I think that was also excellently done.
But I realized because it was reminding me of COVID, I was like, oh, fuck. I was closer to being like the mom.
Yeah.
Oh, no. But yeah, I don't know. Fantastic performances all around too.
Oh yeah. Tandy Wright played the mother. Matthew Sunderland is the father. I actually quite liked the projectionist too. He was a nice little injection of
David Corin Sweat.
It was great too. And I had never seen Misty too. Like I thought like all the actors that they introduced were spot on and just like were very up for this part, because like Mia Goth of course has like carried the whole movie. She's like in every shot of this movie, and yeah. You know, I thought she carried it completely, and the other actors were excellent as well.
God, and the color correction, and then the use of, so they go back to the same spot and or they built it on a soundstage, but I'm assuming because I know how the Ty West productions work,
mm-hmm.
since my friends do them. And I would have been on it too, but I was on a different show. Then I could have given all the secrets, but I can't. I can say I think that the next movie is going to be very stylized 80s, like this one was stylized 1918 or whatever,
mm-hmm.
1910s.
Yeah.
With the introduction of color, like everything's like over color corrected to make it look like there's only, what, three tubes coming through? Or what is it? Yeah, I think three tubes, right?
Yeah. It purposely looks different. It's supposed to look like, I mean, I got this right away without, I mean, I think they mentioned it in a lot of stuff, the press stuff they wrote about, but it definitely is influenced by like Wizard of Oz, that sort of overly bright color, you know, coming at you,
yeah,
and, you know, very vividly towards you, everything. Because there's even at some point I noticed there's like a pink steam pipe or like a pole or something, right? There's like,
which I think had a lot to do with the introduction of color into the world, really, I think, in television and film.
Mm-hmm.
So only certain colors would pop, so they would go out of the way to
accentuate them.
Make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think in a way I like that there again, that they were doing like a 70s vibe with X, and now this one they're doing like early color movies and that's that sort of thing, where there's like musical sequences in this. There's, you know,
like very, you know what, you're right, it's like very very heavy Wizard of Oz, the entire movie. She's Dorothy. Mm-hmm. Dorothy also fucked the mm-hmm. Scarecrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know. The Tin Man is a projectionist. Dorothy also fucked him. I mean, forked him, right?
Let's get her. Who's Misty? Is Misty the Cowardly Lion? She
yes. That's why she just didn't have to sleep with her. Also because they're related, but but not by blood, I guess.
No, yeah. Yeah, I mean.
And then the mom's a Wicked Witch of the West, yeah, right?
Dual rolled.
And then the dad is a wizard,
mm-hmm.
guess, or maybe the projectionist is a wizard.
Oh, I like where you were going before. Yeah,
this is basically Wizard of Oz. We fucking
nailed it.
Cracked the case.
Solved it. You're welcome, everybody.
Ty West, you're so predictable from Delaware.
I don't know. You want to get into some spoilers?
Wait! No. Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers. Yeah. So, I don't know if people are going to be ready for this, but Mia Goth ends up becoming a mentally unstable character. A new territory for and ends up murdering some people.
She murked them. She murked a lot of people in this. Basically everybody.
I will say it kind of starts, right? It kind of starts by accident, like most villain origin stories, but it's not intentional, and then it just kind of like neighbors are going crazy. And then it just kind of like spirals out of control, right?
Yeah.
Because her mother is a real ass to her, and then you find out it's because the mom is very aware of all her like
tendencies and behaviors.
Yeah, her psychosis tendencies. And
well, she killed a goose like in the beginning of the thing.
Yeah, well, to be fair, that was a silly goose. So,
yeah.
If old Jimmy hadn't waddled in, old Jimmy Gooseneck.
Yeah.
That's why he hasn't appeared on the show. He tried to do this movie.
He's trying to act. He's just trying to get an acting game.
They myrtled the shit out of him.
Listen to our old shows to get that reference.
But it was like, after all this like happening, she's also got a weird relationship with her dad. Like, the more I thought about it, the more I was like, she kind of forces her father to watch her bathe and be naked and,
yeah,
like, pinches him to, like, just see how much pain she can inflict before he does any sort of flinching, because he's a... what's the word I'm looking for? Lame, right?
Lame? I mean,
he's a...
No.
I think that was a term they used back in, like, that... he was lame. He was could not move at all. Like he got sick or something. He's completely immobile.
Yeah. He's vocal, not something, right? I don't know. He's lame. Lame is a good way to put it. He's super lame because he can't talk and walk and stuff.
He's super lame because he can't do that. Well, you know, interesting that we bring it up. I'm wondering, that's probably where the slang term comes from. Like, oh, you're so lame. It's because that was what the medical condition was, that you just didn't move and didn't do anything.
I think that makes sense, yeah. Like, he's...
it's kind of fucked up.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah. Well...
and you know what? We're going to be the ones that start this movement. We're going to be like... everybody's gonna be like, man, they're so cool and woke. They don't use the word lame anymore because it's not fair to people that were lame.
It's rude. We're gonna get canceled, Don. Yeah. We're gonna cancel us. Thanks.
I mean, I'm surprised we're not canceled yet.
Yeah.
I think more people need to hear us, and that's where we're getting at. Please listen, subscribe, listen all the episodes so we can finally get canceled.
We need the rise to the fall.
Yeah. Otherwise, we're going to be doing this for the next 30 years. I don't know.
Yeah.
When we do Mia Goth's new Ty West from Delaware's movie
30
years from now.
Yeah. Well, two things. Mia Goth didn't write the next one, right? It's just Ty West, probably.
I don't think so. Yeah, I think it's just Ty West.
So we're going back to mediocrity, aren't we? So yeah, I'm 100% quite crediting Mia Goth for this really interesting origin story for this character, for the supporting character in X.
I was just gonna double check, and maybe she has a credit, but I think she got busy doing movies like Infinity Pool and all those other like...
Right, yeah. Well, I love the idea that they did X and... or no, they had... were in pre-production for X, I believe, and they got a Zoom... they had to shut down production because of COVID, and then Ty West and Mia Goth zoomed together to write this prequel, which is why they kind of shot both movies simultaneously at the same time. So they kind of got like a 2-for-1 probably on the same budget, which probably why, again, probably feels a little small in some respects, because they're just redoing the same setting. So yeah, no, this was a nice, like, this is really excellent in that it's a nice, like, burst of creativity between two, you know, talented people that I think they collaborated and made something very personal, very thoughtful, and a real showcase of Mia Goth's talent. So
yeah, I agree.
I can see. I'm surprised she didn't get, like, I low-key kind of expected her to get some sort of, like, Oscar nomination or something, right? Like a writing credit like a performance, kind of acknowledgement. She got nothing, which is so biased towards horror. Not that awards matter, right? But
yeah, but yeah, you're 100%. I mean, that's what it is. It's just because it's a horror
film. Yeah. Yeah. And it barely skirts that, right? It barely even skirts horror in a quote unquote traditional sense. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of, I always thought that was lame, that it's like they don't respect horror, and now they don't respect musicals either in the same category.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, musicals fucking built this industry, but okay.
Well, La La Land got a bunch of shit, right?
Oh yeah. That's the one that
white people.
What did Zach Galifianakis say?
Like, right.
Isn't it great that Ryan Gosling was able to introduce jazz to black people?
Yeah, he saved jazz. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it sounds funny. I was going to make the same joke. But
yeah, so Mia Goth also has a pet alligator.
Yeah, which seemed really important to the beginning of this plot, but then kind of, you know, just, yeah, I'm not really...
There. I mean, that the alligator that lives another like 60 years, I guess. Oh, no. That they showed that the alligator had eggs.
That's right. They did.
And then she squeezed one of them because she had a tendency, I guess. She like nestled it in the barn and then immediately just squished it. It's like, okay.
Yeah. Dude, I will have to go and say that. Like, I loved that monologue she did where she's like confessing as if she's basically talking to... confessing her feelings to Misty, but they were kind of role playing, and Misty saying like, "What if I'm Howard? What would you say to him?" And she confesses like all her feelings, and it's just an amazing like one shot thing. It's like it's here on IMDb, it says like it was like close to 7 minutes or 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was pretty long.
And
just one take.
And it just lands, dude. It was so like, heartbreaking at points, and raw, and just like unnerving, and just beautifully done. You know, like at some points, what's great about like Mia Goth, she doesn't really show any tells in her performance. She seems like completely like, you know.
I'm gonna give her credit for being good at that, but I'm also gonna say it probably has a lot to do with her eyebrows, like being that light color.
She doesn't have
you can't see her
reacting, just don't face it. Yeah. I would say even the eyes too, man. She's like, she seems like completely just like in the part. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's a level of commitment you don't see very often, right? In my opinion.
No, when she does the dance sequence and when she fucks the scarecrow.
Mm-hmm. There are moments, yeah.
It just goes all in. Yeah. But that was great. And then, like, I mean, I think the biggest spoiler is, like, one that everybody knows about. But that sequence at the end when Howard, her husband that was off to war, finally shows back up.
Mm-hmm.
And then the credits roll. I was like, this is fucking awesome. It was so... I mean, I wasn't even really reading the credits. I was just, like, paying attention to Mia Goth not saying anything. Like, it's like an old 20s TV show where the end is just people just kind of standing there or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like,
she, so like, wild. Held the pose, a smiling face, and you can kind of see her slowly, like, break because she has to hold the smile for so long and not blink.
Yeah.
And so, like, she's, like, tearing up and crying.
Yeah.
She's...
Which a lot of people were like, whoa, she, all the commitment, like she made herself feel sad at the end. And I think she was like, no, I was like, my, I was hurting. I was,
yeah, Ty West just stayed on it and just like did it purposely. And that was her natural reaction. You can kind of even see a little bit like she's like, cut, like stop. You know, she doesn't want to stop, but she just continues anyways. Because yeah. Ty West hasn't said cut yet. So, and she just holds it. And yeah, no, it's devastating. It's crazy. It's like unique and crazy and just... totally the right call, just fit the whole tone of the movie, especially for that character as well.
Yeah. Good shit.
Very good shit, yeah. Really.
Oh, man.
Surprisingly enjoyed it. Yeah. I'm surprised because I wasn't as hot on X, and I feel like this movie is...
Was fantastic.
It's like... It's like the Evil Dead 2 to Evil Dead. The slighted...
yeah, kind of.
The sequel that improves upon the first one, rehashes similar plot themes. I'm trying to make this connection, John, that this is Evil Dead 2.
I liked her, yeah, whenever she would start screaming and it was just like a hoarse growl of a scream.
Oh my god, yeah.
When you're actually, it reminds me of like when couples get in arguments and the passion is just all there. And I was just like, oh my God, this is, I feel like I'm not supposed to be watching her do this. You know, it's like very vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. She's like totally committed to the performance and takes and just keeps going and going and going with it and doesn't break, just goes, which I thought extraordinary. And I mean, frankly, I'm pretty excited about Maxine too. Like, I think, well, I feel like I got to see a trailer. I can see what it is, get a vibe from it, get a sense of it. And
which they should be able to cut a trailer very soon. So I know for a fact they wrapped up filming last Friday.
Ah, okay. So maybe you think by year's end we'll probably get it, the movie?
Maybe. Yeah, possibly.
Like maybe October, early fall.
Because it wasn't a long shoot time either. I think it was only a couple of months, I think.
And they had much bigger, I'm assuming they had a bigger budget because they had bigger stars. That's just my guess. Because like
a lot of bigger stars, but I don't think they worked out of a studio, which is interesting. I think it was all locations, which is pretty wild.
That's, yeah, that could be, I'm assuming that's going to be more expensive, right? Because you have to do all the sets and, I'm sorry, not sets. You have to do all location shooting, like you said. Which is more,
well, no, I think usually.
Because they also had to dress it up to look 80s too, right? To match the decade.
Yeah, so I mean, you could totally just rent like cheap places, cheap locations, and then you save more money doing that than renting a studio. So we'll see. I mean, I know it was a low budget. It was a lower tier union show.
Okay.
Which, you know, most people would be like, I don't want to do that, but nobody was working, so.
Yeah, interesting. I'm really interested because like you said, I think they have. Well, then the actors must have got a like scale, right? They must have got like a smaller, because Kevin Bacon's in this, right? Kevin Bacon's a big enough name.
Holy shit! Like, what's his name? Giancarlo.
Oh yeah, Giancarlo's in it.
Esposito. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's not cheap at the moment.
But just real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Real quick tidbit: the porn that Pearl is shown in the movie is a real film. It's called A Free Ride. There's some speculation because it said it was from 1915, but there's some speculation whether it was real or not because it surfaced in the 70s.
I see. Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. No. Maxine's got like a huge cast. Mia Goth.
Who's that? <Just
kidding. laughs> Michelle Monaghan, Giancarlo Esposito. Kevin Bacon, Bobby Cannavale.
Oh, I hate Bobby Cannavale. I've told you this. I don't like that actor.
Yeah. Halsey. Halsey the singer's in it.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh?
There you go. That's all you need. Elizabeth Debicki. But she was in The Great Gatsby, Tenet, Widows, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Sure.
Oh, she might be the... No, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. Do you have any last thoughts?
No, fantastic film. It's quite the pearl.
Oh, there you
we'll
go.
See you later. See you next week.
Shut it down. Alrighty. John.
We've been yelling that every 2 seconds this past week. Like, oh man, we need an inventory of this. And we're like, shut it down. Just shut it down. Shut it down.
Yeah. Alrighty. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to keep it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Ty West from Delaware's 9 sexy Mia Goth screaming her lungs out sexy bones.
Yeah. I was gonna do the same. I really enjoyed this movie. It was excellent. I'm gonna do 9 sexy spooky bones as well.
That's a very sexy
bone. Very sexy bones. Super excited about Maxine. Alrighty. Alright, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky!
Mia, no!